Vic, you're listening to Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii.
So this is Mae So, and you're listening to Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii.
Peace. Listen up, this is Danny One, and you're listening to Hawaii Hip Hop Histories via Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii. Check it out.
Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii with Kavit the Catalyst. Here we have Clark, Lord One, Quadro. And I had an elaborate introduction, but instead I'm going to switch it up and tell a story on how I actually officially feel like I really got to know Lord One. So anyway, me and Travis, Omega 6, were traveling in 1999 to B-Boy Summit in Los Angeles. That event was kind of like, it was like a culmination of hip-hop culture pretty much. It was like 4 or 5 day event held by, I think, Asia One and Easy Rock, right? So B-Boy Summit was it. You know, we've been to the 97 one in San Diego, so we decided to fly, me and Six, up to the one in L.A. So we were on the plane, and in the plane, I see Clark. Right. You remember that? And I was like, oh, wait, what's up, Clark, Lord One? And then he was with him, B-Boy Eddie. We just call him B-Boy Eddie. B-Boy Costco, what's up, Brandon? Costco. And we see him in the plane. It's always good to see Hawaii people when you're traveling. So like, hey, what's up? How are you guys going? Oh, yeah. Oh, we're going to B-Boy Summit. Us too. Right on. Everything good. Get off the plane. For some reason, my credit card didn't work. Didn't work. Couldn't get the car. Right? And then that, and everything was a chain reaction. So basically, me and Omega 6, we were stranded at the LAX. And this is about 4 a.m., I think, 4, 5:30 a.m. So I see Clark. And he's like, hey, Kevin, you good? Okay, we'll see you later. And then I think you asked me, like, oh, what you got? What's your plans or something? And I was like, oh, dude, we can't get the car. And he's like, oh, where are you guys going? And I was like, we can't get our spot either, hotel, because my credit card, for some reason, didn't work. So he's like, you know what? Just jump in with us then. And I was just like, what? Like, okay, I know we know each other, right, at Hawaii Jams, and we've met. But, you know, for someone to basically extend their vehicle, extend their family, because I got to meet your family, extend a place to stay, right? And basically add on two more people to a crew of already like 5 or 6. Like, to me, that was amazing. So I was like forever, like, not, I mean, I could say forever indebted to Clark or Lord One, but that just showed me how hip hop, especially coming from Hawaii, we come from such a small island that we need to look out for each other. Like, you could have been like, okay, good luck, guys. See you guys later. But nah, you're like, nah, dude, here, jump in with us. And we squished into the van or a car, and we went to your family's house, which was in
Baldwin Park.
Yeah, Baldwin Park, which, you know, it's Baldwin Park.
Was out there.
Yeah, it's out there. You know what I mean? We stayed on the floor. We stepped on the floor. I remember sleeping on the floor, but you took us everywhere. I think we met Hayes.
Right, right.
Went to the Hayes warehouse. We got to meet all your family. Then we linked up with Leonard them later on, the last event in the event.
And
we got to hang with you because you're originally from L.A.
Right.
But I wanted to just take this time to say thank you for doing that for me and Six. Yeah. And forever, I remember that. Every time you reach out to me and you irritate me on the phone saying, Kevin, when are we going to do B-Bro Reunion? When are we going to do Inertia? What you doing? I'll be like, Clark. Be like, nah. Clark's the dude. But yo, I'll just say that on record. Thank you very much for everything you've done for myself as well as for Hawaii hip hop.
It's all for Hawaii. We were rolling deep.
With that day? You mean that when we.
The whole event, yeah.
Yeah, we were rolling
deep. Then we caught up with Leonard Dam.
Yeah.
Hawaii represented. And it's definitely. Just, you know, what I learned, the aloha in Hawaii. So.
Because originally, you're not from Hawaii. So tell me about your upbringings in Los Angeles. Was it Baldwin Park you grew up mostly?
Lennon Elementary, I started popping like in 82-ish. And Covina.
What's Covina?
There's a place called Covina.
Oh, Covina. Okay.
Yeah, junior high for 1 year. It's called a Furious Jam On Crew was my first.
Furious Jam On Crew.
My first crew, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
nuts.
Yeah. 7th grade.
Okay.
Let's see. And then Baldwin Park, yeah. Kind of, you know how we were talking about earlier, that dip, like,
yeah.
You know, like, there's, you know, breaking kind of just
What year was that? You felt that dip
for us, like 86, Los Angeles. Maybe.
Okay, it's funny because 86 Hawaii, we're late.
So right.
B-boying, breaking, popping, lucky was still like on point. Like it was still on a high because, like you said, we usually catch like
2 years. Yeah,
right.
Back in those days before YouTube.
Yeah. So 86, you kind of felt the dip, but you kept going, right?
Behind closed doors, but I didn't like jam at parties.
Yeah.
But I was so Filipino underweight that I still had an identity game muscle. So
right.
I kind of still was all right.
Yeah.
Lifting myself towards the 88s and 89s. It's when I started jamming back at events. Met up with Lords in Baldwin Park.
Okay.
And then we were doing house and freestyle.
So Lords, was that a b-boy crew, a party crew?
It was a party crew that had dancers.
Okay.
Or dancers that had a lot of friends that partied.
Yeah.
From Baldwin Park High School.
Right.
But there was a lot of surrounding areas, and there's Mexicans, you know, blacks, Filipinos, and Latinos in there. So, but I was pretty good at breaking, and not as good as housing. So.
Right.
So I kind of tried to put the elements together, and then so wherever we went to all these house parties, we'd be like in the 5-6 flyers.
Right.
And on paper flyers, you know, we just hit up each party, like, and that's how I got around meeting a whole lot of new B-boys coming
up. Right. Who are some of your B-boys that inspired you when you were coming up? Were they all from Los Angeles, or were they from some from the East Coast? Do you remember any few?
I know, like, the cool ones and nice ones are like Ken Swift.
Right.
He just had just whatever he did, like, it was just amazing. Like,
right.
Like, usually, like, someone comes out, you're like, oh, he did that all right. Or when he does stuff, it's like, where do you get that from?
Right,
like,
right.
And he can, like, do no wrong. And I was like, wow, look at that. Transitions and stuff.
Yeah.
And then the difference was, you know, from New York and L.A. is, like, the power moves and stuff. And he kind of had a little bit of each. Like, his style was, like, someone were hard to do.
Yeah.
If you weren't powerful enough. But you can't tell because he was so fluid with it.
Yeah. Ken Swift to this day.
Amazing.
I mean, that's kind of true because he's one of the few B-boys from back in the day that could translate on both coasts. You know, I mean, you know what I mean?
And he still does to this day.
Yeah.
He's still doing it. Even out here, he kind of contributed to some.
Right. On the Big Island, right?
Big Island, yeah.
And besides Ken Swift, anybody else that you consider, like, you know, your early influences in B-boying?
Let me take a step before that. On the West Coast, I was popping. My older brother,
right,
used to do it. His friends would come over, popping and stuff in the living room, in the kitchen. But I was so young and small, right? So when they would leave, I would practice.
Like every little brother does.
Right. But he caught me one day.
Right.
It's like, whoa. So there was a party like across the street-ish. He took me there, and we went to battle, I guess. And you know, every battle, you wait till the person starts.
Yeah.
And it was so long. We were looking at each other, and one of us finally went, but it wasn't one of us. Both of us went at the same time. And I think it was like this long, old songs that are like 7 minutes long.
It was like a freestyle song or something?
Somewhat of maybe like before, like a Planet Rock-ish.
Okay.
It was long somewhere. For that, but so now we're like popping in front of each other, and then I kept looking at my brother, like,
what are you doing? Stop. Like, someone has to stop
it.
Someone has to step
going,
away.
And then like they realized, oh, he could dance.
Oh, nice.
And that was right before I started breaking, so it was 82.
Oh, that's crazy. So you guys are both out there,
right?
Like, not technically battling each other, but just out there.
But we were because you're supposed to go one,
right?
To
one at a time, yeah.
And I guess we were both so new and everything is so fresh.
How old was your brother that time?
He's like 4 years older than me, so he's probably...
Teens
already.
And you're like, what, 11 or something, or 10?
Possibly, yeah.
Or
possibly,
younger?
Yeah. Well, what year is 82 minus me?
Minus me, I like that. 82 minus me. Whatever that is, guys. That 82 is. Minus me.
And I'm 35 now, so...
Nice. Aren't we all 35 right. now? Oh, that's great. So would you consider your older brother influence in your hip-hop?
Yeah. yeah, he just found out right now. So. Yeah, just found out.
It's that sibling rivalry. You don't ever want to be like, nah, yeah, that's the dude. But anyway, he threw me in there.
So basically, never stopped from that day on.
Oh, that's
nice. I just kept going.
So before you're undercover and you found out and you're like, yo, we're going to a party right across the street. Let's go. Throw you in the fire. That's the best way to do it.
And everybody knows it, my anxiety. I was just like, oh, okay, whatever.
Anyway. And you're young. But, you know, you're young, that young little kid.
Yeah.
So everybody was, I'm sure.
That's every time. Go. Every time after that. And then I started, and then I saw Michael Jackson moonwalk.
Oh.
And it was over.
Over.
It started breaking, too.
So when you aside were, from that, let's go revisit the Lords, because that's an interesting time in hip hop in general, the party crews. I know in the Bay Area it was huge and LA, but like, speak to us, what exactly is a party crew?
I know that in every high school back in the day, they had this group of people that just partied and had a good time and stuff, keep it safe. But then within that circle, there was dancers and somewhat gangsters, especially in LA, and DJs.
Right, yep.
MCs and of course LA, most recently the Taggers and the Buildings.
That's awesome.
But you know, this is all territorial, right?
Right.
So
there are still gangs, but there's also party crews, right? So party crews kind of consist of like, you had the girls, you had the guys with, you know, the cars, then you had the DJs, you know, like the ISP, Scratch Pickles kind of came out of that. You know, a lot of DJs came out of that party crew scene to become amazing turntablists and DJs. Then you had all the dancers, the Housers, the B-Boys, the Poppers.
Yeah, right.
Then you had the kind of shady street dudes in the crew. But it was more like that party crew. It really was from party to party.
Right.
And you go and you kind of party. I don't know what else to say.
Right. It's like when you ask, where are you from? But how kind of you asking that question? Where are you from?
Right.
Or where are you from? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The party part allowed you to go to an event and hopefully not get hassled. And just like, I'm part of this thing. And we're here to have fun.
Right. Basically. It's not like I'm part of a Crips or Bloods.
Right.
Or neighborhood per se. It's more like I'm part of the Lord's crew, party crew. Right. We're just here to have fun.
Right.
Yeah. That's big. I mean, I think Hawaii, we had that to some extent, but not later on when I got older and I learned more about what was going on, you know what I mean, in California. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, in California, I realized that was way more of a thing, party crews.
Mm-hmm. And it actually saved me because, like you said, we were all immersed into DJs, MCs, gangsters, and stuff different. So we went to all different neighborhoods, and they're like, aren't you that guy? I'm like, oh, but then their friend always knew me, like, one of them knew me, like, oh, you can break.
Yeah.
I get caught in other neighborhoods, and they're like, oh, yeah, you can't leave to teach us how to break.
What?
So I've taught a lot of gangsters out there, all different neighborhoods, how to break.
So B-boying actually got you out of
would be sticky
situations.
Yes.
Because back in the day, you'd be like, hey, I'm from Baldwin Park. You'd be it's on then. Now it's like, oh, no, that's Clark.
He's cool.
He's cool. He can break. And before you leave, you ain't leaving until you can teach us how to, you know what I mean, six-step or something.
I realized how good I was in one day. Somebody had me by collar, and I was like, I think I was off my feet. And they're like, oh, wait, he could teach you how to break. He's so dumb. And then I was like, oh, let's go. 1, 2, 3. You got it.
That's crazy.
Let's go.
It's like a movie almost.
Let's get out of here.
That's crazy. You're dancing on the way out, right? Okay, boys, see you guys later. Wow. Hey man, you got
so literally saved my life.
So literally, B-boy saved your life. So when did you when you're in LA? When did you hook up with Little Caesar and stuff, and Radiotron, and you know?
So as we got better, and then we met more people, and there's a dance shows like Soul Train and the Neon People Party Machine.
Party Machine, yeah.
So I ended up getting invited my friends to go on a Neon People's.
Right.
Who's
listeners? Who's Neon People's? Who do you consider Neil Peoples?
She's
today?
An actress. She's a she's a host for.
She was in the movie North Shore.
North Shore, right.
Yeah, she was Kiani.
She's just all the Hawaiian.
Yeah, North Shore for all the people that want to know that's younger who Neil Peoples is. She was Kiani in North Shore, Rick Kane's love interest. down here on the North Shore, and we treat friends more better.
Which had Keanu, right?
Yeah. So she had a dance show, I guess you could say.
Right? She ended up having a dance show.
Which is the party machine.
It was, I think, before or after Sydney Harshall.
Okay.
I ended up going on there. I did like a few episodes.
Can we find that on YouTube?
I've been looking for it, but hopefully we can. I couldn't find it years ago, but I'm sure now it'll be easier to find.
So what were you doing, like popping, locking, breaking?
So they have this part where you show your stuff, and then the producers would grab you, and then they would put you as insert, like when the show starts. And
right.
But they, you know, like Soul Train.
Yeah.
Have that. So I got grabbed, and then I was just doing some stuff. And then one time we're at my homie's house, I was watching, and I was like, because I wasn't rich. I didn't have a camera. So I never saw myself.
Right.
But I saw it on TV. I'm like, oh, dude. And I was very competitive. I was like, man, that guy's kind of dope. Like, he's really good. And I didn't realize.
It was me. It was you.
Yeah. And so after that, we were on TV and then kind of local celebrities around SoCal. I don't know.
Then
I saw, to answer your question, I saw Little Caesar there.
Okay.
He was doing a bunch of head spins.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Kind of met up with him initially there. Yeah.
And Little Caesar, his crew is?
Air Force crew.
Right.
And then I found out rewind back to, like, Santa Belinda back in elementary days, there's a spot in Covina, the Azusa, where all the crews would jam.
Right.
And because I was so young, I didn't go.
Yeah.
I was maybe 9, maybe 10. 11, I don't know. But Little Caesar said he used to go there too and everything.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's like a Zula Gremlin and stuff. So they would go there. But I was just a little young kid.
Right. Caesar's like a couple years older?
But, you know, back in the day, that makes a difference.
So did you get down with Air Force crew after that? Or just like b-boy with them, practice?
Well, then they came back. They came to Hawaii and then I danced with them. And actually, 97, I was in the Army. I was on Army wrestling team, and then because we were already in the mainland, they would let me take leave from there.
Right.
I hooked up with Caesar, and then we went to B-Boy Summit.
97.
San Diego. Right?
San Diego, yep.
Coincidentally, we got Orko to come out of retirement in 97, and he came with us too.
Yeah.
And then he met his wife, Honey, or re-met her again after that. But, we touched everyone.
That's
positively,
crazy.
Hopefully.
So wait, so Air Force crew, explain to people. I mean, Air Force crew is not from Hawaii, but they are an integral part of
B-Boy.
They are the
integral part of the West. They are pretty much MNLA Breakers and stuff, the West Coast of the B-Boys. Held it down, and still do for years. A lot of basic respects out to them, you know, Willpower, and rest in peace, Robbie and DJ Hayes out there. Oh, you know,
memory.
Right.
Air Force, LAB.
He was hosting us. Remember?
Remind? No.
Remember animation?
Animation. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know if you want me to, like,
jumping around. Yeah, no, go ahead.
So, in the 97, same year. Okay, not jumping too far. But we had brought, for first reunion, we brought Little Caesar in animation.
Right.
To the first B-Boy reunion in Hawaii at the Puck's Alley. The Source, Joe.
I remember that. Yeah, animation, yeah. Oh, rest in peace, animation.
Yes, sir.
Livicated animation. That guy's tough. He hit so hard, his moves. I could have swore it. Like you're just, like, taken aback. Like, I don't see anybody can go on after him. He's one of those dudes that when he got down, you're like, dude, how can you go after that?
Yeah, that's so much poppers trying to.
He's ahead of his time. I feel like, dang.
I can't even do it.
if he was out, I mean, you know, like right now, we're dancing so big on like TikTok and all that stuff. Like animation was way ahead of his time, and he just hit hard.
I remember he just kept telling me to eat. Garlic.
What's that?
Said garlic's so good for you.
Garlic?
I'll see him with garlic.
No way. Garlic is good for you.
Now I eat. garlic, everything.
I don't know about eating garlic like straight raw. You mean like just eating the bulbs of garlic?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so anyway, so you're in LA, and then you eventually moved to Hawaii. What made you move to Hawaii?
I got stationed out here in the Army.
What year was that?
Army medic, 92.
92, and then, so before that, did you come to Hawaii?
Not at all.
Not at all.
I was like, I gotta get to, I want to be, you know, like LA, I've done stuff.
Right.
A lot of stuff, and then it was cool. And my you know, I listened to my dad, is, you know, the Filipino parents, be a nurse or do some medical. Right. So, and then I was like, well, I'm gonna go somewhere else, I guess. So I told the recruiter I want to be a medic and be in Hawaii. They're like, okay, gotcha. So
nice.
It worked out. And then once I got here, though, I just felt, wow, this is where I was supposed to be, you know? But I came as a teenager, though. So I was still young, and I never really left L.A. So this is the first time I kind of left L.A.
So what age were you when you first came in 92?
I was 19.
Wow, yeah. You're hella young still.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, so. Because I thought I was, when you grew up in L.A., you grew up really fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like 30 already by the time you're 20. So when I got here, I thought I was really mature.
A decade.
I kind of felt like it too, but.
So when you came here, how was the lifestyle, the change, the culture?
It was at that dip we were talking about. Like, everyone was just chill. Like, I guess breaking and dancing, just kind of chilling, kind of hanging out and. Oh, those are raves, right?
Yeah, it's more raves. I remember more raves, house dancing.
House dancing.
92. Yeah, 92 was definitely not as many. There's still crews, but I noticed everybody was housing.
Right.
Housing was a big thing, like Mop Top and kind of doing more.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, that's some of my roots too, but like I said, could break better. like I said earlier, it kind of helped me with surviving.
Right. So did you get out of the military while you were here in Hawaii?
I did. Okay. I did, and then I went back in, and then I got out again.
They keep drawing you back in.
Yeah. So, well, the major thing was I needed to go back to Hawaii. Like, I kept getting restationed here, and like, when I first came in 92, I would go out. I was stationed in Schofield. It was so far away, but I would take the bus all around the island by myself. Yeah. And look for these B-boys.
Right.
And I remember watching a video when I was in L.A. with, like, Eric from NASA crew and stuff. And it's pre-rock steady in L.A. And we saw this amazing video footage of these B-boys in Hawaii called the ABC Breakers.
Right, right.
And I was like, man, I got to get in touch with them. So when I got here, I was, like, looking, asking around, and – and, you know, I didn't know my cities, so they could have said Kalihi, and I wouldn't even know.
You're coming from Schofield. You're coming from L.A., right? So
I would just go all around and looking for everybody. Of course, my instincts back in the day was to go battle everybody, be the best.
Right.
But it turned into more than that. Everyone became my friends and stuff. But first was the battles. Yeah. So I would go to, like, if I found Wahiwa, so I found, like, Andy and them, we would dance, break. What is that? SWAT team, right?
SWAT team, yeah. SWAT team.
TNS. And then who was out there? It was and then going down the hill, what was it? I don't know if I found him in Milani, but then I found it was like that was the first 2 months.
So did you meet SWAT team and Andy before you got to ABC?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was like maybe
how'd you end up finding the SWAT team in Milani? I mean, excuse me, my bad, Wahiwa.
Oh, it's right off the gates of Schofield.
You just asked around, you're just like, because there wasn't social media.
Yeah, what did we do back then?
How did you find, that's why I mean, it's almost you're drawn to it.
I just went around and like.
Did you go to Choice Cuts then? Did you find Choice Cuts?
Sounds like a familiar name, yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, definitely.
So you met up with, you got to meet Andy.
Yeah, and you know, you just ask those questions. And right. Here are these guys. And
any people,
where did they hang out?
Yeah.
What park or whatever? Is there a community center?
Yeah.
I remember I went down to town, talking about this church. I went up there. They're like, yeah, Skillroy's here. Roy. So I have this battle. And then Jetta shows up. Their boys, Right. You can't, back in those days, you couldn't go anywhere and not see Jetta.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Jetta.
Together. So I ended up valuing Jetta. He was dope.
Yeah.
And then I don't know where Roy was, but he was doing his thing. So that was a church. So I hated church schools.
So wait, so, parks. So you're coming from a mentality of LA. Is like, right, LA right. is like, it's on battle.
Right, right, right.
Earn respect. You come to Hawaii, right. it's not so much.
Right, right.
So when you met up with, let's say when you finally went to that church, heard about Skilroy and the battling Jetta, was that more you initiating? Like, hey, what's up?
My name's me all the time. That's just what I knew.
It's what you grew up with.
That's what I knew.
Yeah, the battle. Yeah. Right. And then you became friends with Jetta and Skilroy after that?
Yeah. And then we met some guys at CIA right in town.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
All them, you know.
So you said you met up with CIA Crazy Ill All-Stars.
Yeah, they're dope.
Do you remember who was in the Crazy Ill All-Stars?
Was that, what's his name?
My memory kind of is fleeting.
His Kazuya?
Oh, Kazuya. Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So dope. He's like my favorite. Like, I used to watch him and his heads when there's so much.
Yeah. Shout out to Kazuya.
Yeah. Shout out to Kazuya.
And that was before Red Eye Jedi.
Well, I don't think I battled them necessarily right. at that point. But then I also went down. There's a rest in peace, I want to say, Cody Seiler.
Yeah.
He just recently passed. But
yes, rest in peace.
I understand that. When we started eating Biborin, and he would bring his like brother to the jams, Ross, B-Boy Ross.
Yeah, Ross the Boss.
And because of him, he would bring him, and now his son
right.
is amazing and yeah. carrying on the torch. You know?
They're out in Vegas.
And they all supported. So every beach side over there. But yeah, awesome. Thank you for reminding me. So right after that, or right before, like around the same time, I was taking the bus down because I didn't have a car.
So you're still taking the bus from Schoolfield.
Right, right.
Heating up all these.
I just hit it up.
Word of mouth. You hit one crew up, be like, hey, what's up? Let's battle, friends. Okay, who else is out there? And you just go down the line.
Yeah, yeah. And mostly a battle. But, and then you got to a point where I started feeling the local love and the aloha. Okay. And then you realize, oh, we were together in this. And so now I'm like, I'm living in Waipahu and I meet these guys. At a Waipahu party. They're called Loss from Farrington. Glenn, them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Thank you. He would come from Farrington, from Kali, to pick me up to Waipahu to bring me back to.
Was that when he had his DJ crew?
Yeah. What was it called?
He was friends with Pac-Man, DJ Pac-Man, and then had him on the other homie. I met Glenn my first year at LCC.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So
Glenn, Dale, then.
Yeah, all those guys. I mean, but we met them just straight scratching. Like, we're just scratching away.
Okay, okay. Yeah, but they just picked me up from where Pahu would take me back to Kali, where the party was at.
Right.
Like, a lot of them. Like, I can't believe, like, so much love. And then I would so perform at graduation parties, right?
Nice.
And then people thought I was part of that year.
Okay.
And then towards the end of that year, I was getting, or maybe the next year, I was getting invitations.
Wait, what?
Like, I was from here getting... Come to my event or come perform my next.
Oh, that's
my
crazy. Party. So people, wait, people.
I look so young. Yeah, I look 14.
Yeah. Right. You still look 14, right, by the way. Right. So anyway, so people, you'd go to parties with Glenn and break at the parties. People thought you were actually graduating. Like you're
just one of the homies.
And eventually you just get invited to all these parties.
Yeah, so I pretty much, I'd say, grew up here and learned a lot of my adult stuff. And I only recently been adulting, so.
Okay, so you were here from 92, and you didn't start B-Boy Reunion until about 97.
97. Yeah, because I didn't want to be that person or at that time to just come in and battle everybody and take over. And it's, you know, just what we do. Come to our event. It's awesome. Yeah, we're not from here.
Right.
So I wanted to get myself
immersed
into the culture.
So what is your history with like ABC and stuff?
Oh, so I guess I ran in. Still in the back of my mind,
right?
After all that, I was trying to look for ABC. Where are they at? And then
because they were the crew.
Yeah. Well, they were the crew, and then there's a dip, and then right. they weren't. They were just kind of chilling for a while.
Yeah.
And then I went to this one graduation party, and I found out, boom, the ABC Breakers. I saw this battle, so one on one. they didn't want to do that. There was like two of them. So it was like two of the best at the time, like Leonard Stylin and Richard Gavreese, right? At our age. And he's like a Ken Swift of Hawaii.
Yeah, definitely. Shout out to them, man.
But I had the flu. I was like, I can't break.
You went to a party with the flu.
I went to a party. You went to battle. I couldn't break. And then, like, she did battling too, the best of the time.
Dang. So you battled Richard and
Leonard. And Leonard at the same time.
What?
So I was just like done, bro. Like, but then we went like 20 rounds or something.
Sheesh, 20
rounds. It was crazy. And it was just like respect from that day on. I'm like, no, yeah, I've been looking for you guys. And what I did is been going to graduation parties.
Right.
And like, he's like, oh, yeah, no, we want to jam with you. Next, you know, like, they would come over to my house in Waipahu. Yeah, they would hang out. And they're like, yeah, we want to dance with you. So we started dancing. But from the West Coast influence, we're like, yo, we respect you and you have your name. They're like, you don't want to be Lords performing?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, I had that much respect for them as ABC Breakers.
Right.
So we'll just do like ABC Lords performing. Yeah. And then we did that a bunch.
So you guys would perform as ABC Lords?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was, who was in that kind of like crew or like a joint venture? And then became,
my brother moved there,
okay.
Jester from LA. He was like 16,
okay,
maybe 15. So we were like kids.
Dang.
Being kids and
right.
grown-ups in Hawaii. So like you said, like, yeah, we're probably pretty much from here. So.
Yeah.
And then his buddy, Joker, Janar, and then I got Gino, there's four of us. And then it's pretty much a bunch of them was brewing. Like, we would perform. It's still just Lords, but a bunch of them that was ABC-ish would just hang out with us. And
right.
There's just these new kids from L.A., the Lords. And I was like, oh, this might be getting kind of big. So I was like, yeah, just keep it, like, ABC.
Yeah.
And I don't want to infiltrate.
Yeah, know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll keep it all good. With the name and then the time frame of
right.
the B-Boy reunion, I wanted to wait just so everybody knew us as just these people you hung out with, and the locals and stuff.
So what happened to the Lords crew? Everybody kind of...
So like, oh, that's a good question. So I'm the only one here right. now. With all 11, and it all became ABC. And then, so that's why I'm Lord One. So I'm the only one here from
okay,
the Lords.
There you go.
So I like, you know, my roots and stuff, so it reminds me. But then with my respect for ABC Breakers, like, yeah. So people ask, were you ABC Breakers? No, kind of were, maybe. But I did dance with them, but
right.
we danced with each other. Like, nowadays, like, you got to be joining different crews.
Right.
West Coast, and I really like that.
So it was like a mutual respect you guys had for each other. I mean, technically, there's a lot of people that's like, oh, I'm not really that crew.
Right.
But we're friends, so I would consider myself, definitely a part of the crew, but not in the crew.
Right. But then the younger cast started coming up. So, so that was the Lord's side. And then on the ABC side, there's Richard and Leonard.
Right.
And then they picked up a few other guys, Skelroy and Jetta.
Yep.
So that became a pretty powerful crew, right?
Definitely. And that was what, 94?
93?
Yeah. 93, 94? No, yeah, because if I remember that event at Pearl City Warehouses.
Uh-huh, yeah.
When I think Rocksteady came through, that might have been 95, 4 or 5.
4 or 5, yeah.
Because I remember Quest was spraying outside. Shout out to Quest.
Shout out to Quest.
Definitely. And then I remember Rocksteady was there. And I don't know if that's that. I mean, it's kind of blurred to me now, but like, is that when ABC was one of the times ABC transitioned? I mean, what's your?
For the longest time, I was like, yeah, you guys are awesome. Everyone knows you. ABHS tapes, and maybe keep your name and stuff. And then right after that, like you said, Rock City came in, and next thing you know, they're like, battled in at the Source.
Oh, the Source, okay.
Which is historic. I think I was like on a military
right.
thingy, like in a Big Island or something. So I never really got down officially, but it was amongst, I knew them and they knew me, but this and that. But But they did totally change their name to like Rocksteady.
Right, Rocksteady Hawaii.
A couple of the guys from the Lords joined them to be ABC then Rocksteady.
Oh, wow.
So there's pretty much, this Lord one is me just by myself. But they joined Rocksteady, and then I was like, okay, so what's next? So for me, there's, I feel with the name comes, you know, responsibility.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
How you want to be, you know, what's your legacy? Like how you want to, the next generation
to
keep going? Because I felt like at that point, I already did my part, like to start to try, got these guys up. So maybe a jam. Mm. So I waited aside. So that was another reason I waited. He said 95, right?
Yeah.
So I waited, what, 2 years to throw my first jam? I waited. I didn't want to jump into their stuff. So I did my 2 years later. But it was about getting everybody together.
Yeah.
It wasn't for one crew, one super crew, or one person.
So is that why you named the jam B-Boy Reunion?
Right. That's why.
So it was strategic to a point where you wanted to kind of like let things pass.
Right.
And then once you felt it was time, it was time to renew the family almost. You know, like bring everybody back into the fold. Let everybody know we're Hawaii, we're cool. And so it's like a reunion, family reunion.
But I knew like these kids that we were with now that would move to the mainland that are here still in 20 years, like thinking forward 20 years, I knew that it would be a real reunion.
Yeah.
So now like on mainland, they're actually trying to throw B-Boy reunions, but they can't. <'cause> But they would say it like, these are my homies, like old school homies in New York and stuff. But thank you for that. But we already... I already saw that, and I knew what we can do.
Right.
And it wasn't really a threat to come out here, because if you would come from New York or China, it's like thousands of miles, and I'm scared to be there.
Right.
But it was a place to come and gather, right?
Especially Hawaii. Hawaii seems like the place for a reunion.
Yeah.
Like, we are probably the most loving community in general. You know, I mean, just the people itself. It really embraces reunion.
Yeah.
Right?
He's trying to hype me up, man. I might do this every year again. Stop it.
So your first one, like, who do you remember who was DJing? Who came through? Did you fly anybody in?
The first one, yeah.
Who won the battle?
That was the animation was hosting, and it's Little Caesar.
Yeah.
I was with him. They did performance with Skill Roy, which awesome Skill Roy.
There's video out there on YouTube, yeah. So the first B-Boy reunion was at the Source?
Yeah.
That was the B-Boy reunion.
Yeah.
Was it, was that the... Was it at the B-Boy reunion or another event where Rocksteady Hawaii battled Alien Natives? It wasn't a reunion, right? That was at a Rocksteady jam, I think.
Well, you know what? Like, we were talking about our names on every position.
Yeah.
So I would change the name of the event so I didn't look like
it was a reunion.
It was always a B-Boy reunion.
Okay.
I mean, I did it like 20 of them, but they're all different names, right? You and I did stuff together.
Yeah.
Tenement and stuff. Yeah, History of Hip Hop or Theater.
Yep.
Right?
We did that one. Yeah. And even the time that Mos Def came to our jam.
When?
That was like a B-Boy reunion inertia collab.
I didn't know. I had the mic. I didn't know. You're like, oh yeah, no, he didn't want anyone to know.
Yeah, so the story with that is shout out to I think it was Diggs Lifestyle, Cypher Chris. They texted me. They're like, Mos Def had a show the night before Reunion Inertia at Campus Center Ballroom.
Okay.
We had it. They texted me when I was there. They're like, hey, Mos Def wants to go to a hip-hop event or hip-hop, show. So I was like, okay, just take them to the club. That was my – because I'm like, most rappers that come to Hawaii, they just want to go to the club.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? And to my head, I'm like, yeah, I understand they're like independent artists, but a lot of these guys do want to pop bottles. Right. They do want to be around girls. You know,
really Hawaii. For real.
But then he's like, no, Mos Def wants to come to a real hip-hop event. And I was like, well, we have a B-Boy event right now. Does he want to come through? And they're like, yeah, that's what he wants to come to. So I was like, what?
That was a dope event, too.
That was a really dope event. So and then I was like, wait, so Mos Def, so let me get this clear. I couldn't fathom in my head that a guy like Mos Def would want to come to a there's B-Boys, right? Because at that point, it was kind of a weird divide where
You know, at that point, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a weird, like, a lot of the rappers.
Elements together.
Yeah, they weren't into the elements, but he's like, no, we're bringing them through. Just don't tell nobody and don't say anything. He doesn't want pictures. He just wants to come and enjoy hip-hop culture. And I was like, yo, that is, like, got to be the freshest thing ever to have somebody as Most Def.
That was.
Like, looking for a hip-hop event. Not a club. Not drinking, girls, you know, champagne, bottle. He wants hip hop. And he came. He walked in, strolled on in, and then I think, was you on the mic? You're on the mic.
I heard somebody sounding like me grabbing the mic. It said, yo, well, Steph is in the house. And then you're like, bro, he didn't want anyone to know. I was like,
sure. No, but
here's your mic back. And actually, I never held a mic after that.
I took the mic away from you. Like, forever. Give me that mic. But no, I mean, he loved it. You know, it's, you know what crazy is? Like, I should have pulled my, like, the one time I could have been, like, mad, like, egotistical. I should have said, this is our jam, dude. I'm taking a picture. Because he wanted no pictures.
Okay.
So I respected that. But in my head, I'm like, dude.
But he has to know that someone's going to want to take
pictures. Yeah. I mean, I think I felt like I had the license to ask for a picture. But I just did it because I respected Most Def as an artist and the fact that he wanted to come to our jam. And, like, yeah, that was one of the craziest, I think, things that happened at one of the reunions, events that we've did in all the years. And you've had, like, so many people come through. Like, definitely guys like Big Mox. He always hosted it. You know what I mean? You have all kind of B-Boys from the mainland.
He's the winner of 2001 MC Battle.
Who's the crew that came out of that one?
Oh, the
who's the crew that won the first one?
Funky Nation. Give it up to Eric. Nick, them.
I miss a lot of the B-Boy crews, like Funky Nation, USB. Beaks, all those.
Oh, yeah, Will. Oh, man.
Like, USB was a problem back in the day. Full Force. Yeah. What was the name of the crew? Oh, my God. With Lucky? Lucky was in?
That was a Kamiki sign.
All the Kamiki boys. I think it was all Kamiki. Anyway, they had a crew. Oh, shout out to Lucky. Y'all know him. He's a great tattoo artist. But anyway, so B-Bro Reunion, you did that for a while, but you also were bringing down artists to perform as well. Who were some of the artists that you brought down to perform? You brought down DJs, Turntablists.
Asia One?
Planet Asia.
Planet Asia, I was just looking at the flyer. Yeah, shout out to Frankie and... what's the name of their...
Hip Hop Time Machine?
Yeah, Frank's Hip Hop Time Machine.
Planet Asia is doing some crazy things. But
saw him come up. Like,
did you help with the ITF as well?
No, actually wasn't part of that. But I went and supported.
Yeah. I think that was with Jeru. Did you bring down Jeru at any time? Jeru came down twice. I think it might have been...
Not a sponsor.
It was a Campus Center ballroom. It could have been James Viso too.
I did events there, and then I worked at a Campus Center.
Right.
And I was on the activities council. So kind of trifecta of money.
So when did you start doing HawaiiHipHop.com? And what was the push behind that?
Well, that was to jump on a .com bandwagon. So we did Bebury in 97, and then I think the .com was like 01 or something.
Yeah.
2000. I wanted to grab that because I knew that it might be important one day. So I just kind of kept it, you know?
Yeah. It's the fact that nobody had it. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah. Someone tried to put a sweet thing on it where it was Hip Hop Hawaii, but... I didn't last long. I don't know who did that.
Oh, like hiphophawaii.com instead of Hawaii Hip Hop.
That could have went well, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean,
even today.
It's
like
Wild West.
Content.
Yeah.
If you're not putting content, no one's going to look at it. So I would have looked at it, but we were in the middle of it happening. That was our golden era, I guess I would say.
Yeah. What would you consider one of your greatest achievements helping bring up Hawaii Hip Hop or Hip Hop in general? Cause you did a lot. You've always been low key, but I feel like, you know, like I want to give you the platform to be able to be like, yeah, man, I did that.
Seeing was through the B-Boy reunion where we have kids we have people who are grandparents now, bringing their kids to our events. And they're making, because it's B-Boys in Olympics now, so now people are talking about breaking and stuff. And a lot of it because of us, you know. Like, it would never be breaking. And kind of saved a lot of lives, too, at the same time. So I would say, yeah, the B-Boy reunion, it kind of, like, made me be in college for a long time, which maybe you understand. I know some people understand me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now looking back at it and leaving school, you know, having to go to a war and some marriages and then coming back and finally finishing, yeah. That, with my graduation, I would say was key. I've put that together.
Right, right. Because
I finally graduated 2013 by myself, and I was taking selfies. Nobody was around. It was like...
Sorry, my bad.
I did it.
Congratulations. Two decades late.
Yeah. Yeah. I finished.
You finished school.
I finished. But we still try to keep our hands in what the major is, the creativity and stuff. And I'm making money, so doing it, I'm proud of it. It's just fine. Because I say that now because during the whole time, a lot of people were telling me, you can't make money doing that, being film, being creative stuff, b-boying. I don't make so much money in it, more of it is in the movies, but... You know, I'm surviving. So
right.
You don't need everything. So
you talked about the Olympics. So what's your involvement, or do you have any input on what's going on with Hawaii and the Olympics for B-boy?
Well, there was two entities that was trying to be the main event to put on events, like the winner would represent the USA. The last time I talked to him, I think there was, I went down to two, and I was working with USA Breaking. I still am, but so USA Breaking would be one of the US events where we help train and get them ready. Not necessarily be the ones chosen, but
right.
It's a high caliber B-boys an event, kind of shows where you're at and helps with the U.S. Progress for B-boys and B-girls.
So where do you think Hawaii falls on the level of B-boying in the pantheon of the Olympics, or just in general? Like, where is Hawaii's caliber at now?
I think we've always had one of the top B-boys or B-girls, right?
I mean, all the way back from Dez. Shout out to Dez.
I think, it's different now because they're not just B-boying, but they're actually mentoring more of the future.
Yeah,
808 Breakers, Hijack, and Arc.
Yeah, shout out to 808.
Arc moving back here was a big, he's going to have a big impact.
Huge.
And he already has. They got the KK Breaks, the Bows. And now I saw, I just added to follow, asked to request to follow the Manini Breaks.
What is Manini Breaks?
Yeah.
Wait, there's a Manini Breaks?
They just started, I guess.
Oh, crazy.
Because they had the KK Breaks, right?
Yeah.
So I guess those guys are getting older.
That's dope.
But they're keeping the tradition, going. What I've noticed before was we've had this, every few years we have a dominant crew.
Yeah.
And then they would go away, get old, have families.
Right.
But this generation, they keep it going more. Maybe because it's social media, but I see it more and people see it more, and it's more, it's not just a soccer mom,
right?
Skate rebellious, it's on the same platform. Breaking is just an option for them now.
Breaking is definitely an option. So many avenues to explore.
I like that I was a part of that. To answer part of your last question, I like that as part of that, being a part of that, to have that happen, you know?
Right.
I feel like I am.
I feel like it's definitely for 808, you know, and Tom Solo as well. Tom Solo is doing his thing with the youth.
Right.
I feel like it's a conscious decision from these individuals, Ark and Hijack and the rest of the 808, to perpetuate b-boying. It has to be, because you don't make money.
Right.
You don't. The reward has to be able to be cashed in by seeing your passion being transferred to the next generation. And that takes a lot from individuals, because I've always felt, like you say, in certain crews, every so often they come out of the, they come the elite crew for a few, for 3, 4, 5 years, and then they disappear. I mean, like you said, a lot of us, families, jobs, responsibilities, but like 808 seems to have figured it out where it's like, nah, it's bigger than that. They can still have relationships, families, jobs, but they're like, no, we need to, what we've learned, what we've experienced from traveling, especially Ark, right? Out there in San Francisco. Coming back and be like, nah, man, we need to do this for the next generation, you know? And then Keiki breaks come, Manini breaks. And then I really believe that unless Hawaii has a crew like that, always in an integral part of the culture, that's what causes the dip that we felt back in the 92s, 93s, 94s, you know? Because, I mean, when I was, like, trying to break in, like, 94, that was... It was, I remember, it's like more
of a house. I don't know that.
Yeah, but I stuck with DJ and MC. There's
footage.
Nah, dude, like, there's footage out there. It's brown bags from Kumamel, but.
Really?
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, I was, but I really, like, I just did it because it's part of hip hop. It was just an element.
It's just what you did.
Yeah. You know, sure, it's what I did. But there was a, but like, it's funny you just said there was a lull where it was just like house dancing, more like, you
but
know,
house. It isn't necessarily anyone's fault. It was like on. To know about the East Coast, but the West Coast, it's like they're all, oh, that's just a fad, this and that.
Yeah, and you're
not going to go out and start popping.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
unless you're a big Samoan guy and no one says nothing. Right. Oh, popping. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, okay. Oh, look at the skinny Hawaiian guy. Ah, you're whack. No, that's true. Now, everybody did thought it was a fad, but it was huge. I mean, it was huge in the 80s. And then,
yeah
I guess maybe thought that, maybe people thought that fad was done, you know?
And, and, you know, and for what a lot of old school did to help it become what it is today is shout out to all the old school heads, because it wouldn't be, you know. It wasn't just breaking, too. It was the whole, the fashion of it, the knowledge of it. And for my end, the video of it. Shout out to the video man right there. Video camera. I used to do that. And it helped.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, especially at UH, we had a show on the other place. Would help. I would show the
video. Right.
So you can see it. And then,
yeah.
It helped too. It's not just we're just breaking on it.
That's kind of true, because back in the 90s, there was no YouTube.
There's no YouTube.
There's no social media. So unless you knew somebody that was breaking, that's the only way you technically would learn.
You know, I was working on a movie, and the other day I was in Waialua, and I remember we had gone there to put up posters, which we don't do now, right?
Right.
But we just got all over the island.
Really. Yeah. Posters and flyers.
I didn't put them up, but I know people that did. Put them up.
Oh, I did.
I'm not going to put any one state.
You have to do that. You have to do that to promote your event. But it was flyers, up there. Posters. You have to bomb everything.
Out flyers, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Not everyone's going to remember that one. So,
so would you, let's get who's some of your favorite B-boys of all time?
I like Richard. So, I don't know if we didn't get enough of him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Richard Gabriz?
Yep. Did he have what was his B-boy name?
I think it was rated R.
Nice. I never knew. I just knew it was Richard.
But I didn't expect that.
Oh, okay.
I was like, yeah, who is this guy? And he'd come up with these crazy inventions and stuff.
Yeah.
Like rolling, and then he just kept rolling and rolling to the side. It's like, he made that up. It's like, what the heck? And then, so here's one cool info for the listeners, watchers. I'm sorry, watchers now. So as Hawaii, is this place that everyone wants to go to. We started throwing jams, and everyone started throwing b-boy events. We would fly in people, and they didn't know us from here, from LA and stuff. And I would, when we would battle, they would battle. Of course, you get to a new place, you battle.
Yeah.
It's like what I did, battle. And then you become friends, and you perform together.
Yeah, yeah.
And during the circles over here, oh, I'm going to do this move, that move. I'm like, bro, that's not your move. But in Hawaii, it's so original.
Right.
It would be very heated and competitive. Richard would come out, do some moves, and they're like, what is that? And then later I would see moves and videos and whatnot of a lot of like ABC.
Wow.
Inspired moves. But then now these are top-notch B-boys around the world traveling. Because when you travel, you right. learn and watch.
You learn, stuff, yeah, yeah.
And you, not necessarily bite, but you
right.
make it into yeah. your own form.
Definitely.
Which is what...
That's why you travel.
We do, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I travel.
But I've seen a lot of...
Oh, so you've seen Hawaii a lot of...
Hawaii-inspired moves. So Hawaii is up there. Yeah. You'll see that. And then...
Shout out to Richard, man.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Anybody else on the list? Favorite? No topping or ranking, but just the list. It doesn't have to be Hawaii, but in general.
One guy that inspired us from the Lords was Jet. He had some great tops. I remember we used to battle. Like back in L.A., we used to be at the armory. Like we would rent out these little halls and stuff.
Right.
And that was, might have been their golden era, but before even like... Black Eyed Peas of Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
They're a dance crew.
Right.
We used to dance in the same circle as them and stuff. They're pretty dope. I remember one time I was at Apple's house. We were like making rice. I showed them how to flare because right. I used to be really good at flares.
You're at Apple's, Apple the App's house.
Yeah. Making rice.
From Black Eyed Peas, making rice. And then he wanted to learn how to flare.
You talk about your strong points.
Right, right.
And for some reason, he wasn't Black Eyed Peas. I think they're building it up. And he goes, by the way, do you rap? I said, no, I don't. Like, I can't even try and stuff. So I started flaring. It's, oh, that's cool. And then, next thing you know, I joined the army like that same right. year. And went on. And then I see, oh, Black Eyed Peas.
Well, that's crazy.
And they're like rapping. I was like, bro, I was just at his house.
You just at his house.
I showed him how to flare. It was so crazy. And this is what a lot of people got, you know, came up and.
Yeah.
Did great things.
If you didn't go to army, you might have been in the Black Eyed Peas.
Well, I could have been.
Because they're all dancers.
They're all dancers. Right? Yeah. They're all dancers. Yeah.
What area was that? Did App?
He lived in a valley, I think. Okay. Somewhere in the valley. Yeah. You know, valley has its own good and bads, but
yeah,
I felt like he was in a good spot.
Nice. Well, that's crazy, man. What a small world.
Yeah, he came out. He did his thing. I know he's adopted and overcame that and gives back to the Philippines, which. Now I am, I just came back from Philippines.
Right.
Now I'm like sponsoring every year.
What is the future of Lord One, HawaiiHipHop.com, B-Boy Reunion? What can we expect?
Well, I'll tell you, like after this last event that you did, I was like, dude, I retired, bro. Like I'm just going to sponsor your events. like you got it down. Like how do you do that? Like only, you know, our competitive side, but your spirit and you do it for the community, so I'm down to sponsor you. I like to sponsor more stuff and right. travel.
Yeah.
So like Clifton from Kauai does one every year in Philippines.
Yeah.
So I'm going to sponsor his event in May. I want to go. Depends on the health, but because I'm more towards retirement than being 35.
Yeah.
32. So.
Flip that around. That around, add a couple numbers,
right? So
let's go. So, you're taking a role of almost like an elder statesman, kind of like looking to see who needs help, who can I support? Like, kind of take that back, that like, back role.
Like, where, who I could have went up to when I was starting off. There's nobody. Even when I was starting off, like, they're like, why are you doing, bringing that back again? Like, no one wants to do it. I'm trying to make, pass out sponsorship packets.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to do it again. You can't stop it.
Can't. I think if some kid came up to me with a sponsorship packet, I would be like, I'm going to look at it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, dang, respect, I got, okay, if I can support this kid anyway, I will, because that's like a lost art, you know, real hustle.
So I do want to give final thoughts if we're at the final end of this.
Yeah.
To, of course, when you're b-boying and you're battling and you run into people that it's hard to keep you moving forward, but you got to keep going forward. Like I say, when we went to the event, it might have hit you too, but Asia's Wellness event inspired me to do the B-Boy Reunion, number one, foremost. And I got to tell her like a couple years ago, which is awesome. And then and to connect with that, like East had brought that. It's my connect and gave me some tips on how to move stuff. And he made my logo and stuff. And Little Caesar taught me from day one, like, since you brought it up, like the proposal. Like he actually, like, I think he emailed it to me. I didn't know anything about anything. Like I would just give my money and
right.
I didn't know there was you can get stuff. Like one time, Zoo Gummy helped me, and next thing you know, I had like 20 pairs of Dada shoes in my garage. Like, thank you. What is this? Is this happening now? Well,
this how it works.
Yeah. Yeah, most definitely. Excited to see what happens next and your next event.
So what's the last words of wisdom for the people? How about for the youth? Since we're transferring your wisdom and knowledge.
Keep breaking and break for yourself and just do it because you love it. If you don't love it anymore, just stop. You know, don't even do it. Just love what you do, man. Be yourself. Yeah.
Lord One, Clark Quadro, thank you. B-Boy Reunion, HawaiiHipHop.com. Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii's Capital Catalyst.
GB.
Peace.
Mahalo for listening to Ala Nui Mele on PBS Hawaii. Introduction beat by Just One Old. You can listen to Ala Nui Mele on all streaming platforms. And check us on social media at PBS Hawaii or www.pbshawaii.org.